Hi, Nicole. It's good to see you. Hi, Inval. Hi, Lissa. Hi, Swati. There you are, Lissa. Hi, Corinne. Oh, it's good to see
Hey.
Who else can I say hi to? Hi, Michelle. Hi, Anne. Hi, Shamet. Hi, Tammy. Kelsey. Yay, it's so good to see everybody. Hi, Juliana. It's good to see you guys. Hi, Suzanne. Awesome. All right, some more people will be piling in as we continue along, but it's so good to see you guys. Yay. I'm in a location other than my home. So after work last night, John and I moved all of us out of our house into an Airbnb because we're renovating our house. And so I'm coming to you from a tiny little apartment. And I think I'm settled and this is all working, but hopefully there won't be any interference. And I'm just so happy that all of you are here. Hi, Calvin. Hi, Dana. Trying to see who else I haven't said hi to yet. So happy all of you guys are here. I'm so excited to get started. I've been thinking about you. You know, I think almost all of you probably know I took an extended time, as I always do, off over August. And I've just been thinking about each of you so much and really just waiting to get started. So this is one of our Q&A calls today, and usually we'll spend the full 90 minutes having Q&A time. But because we're kicking off today, I wanted to take the first 30-ish minutes or so and just really get us grounded, really set the container, share with you about this journey and how you can make the most of it, and really kind of get us grounded and anchored in. So we'll take that time today, but usually these Q&A calls will be all Q&A for the 90 minutes. So, as you guys know, what we're going to be doing here, or kind of like what the intention, and for some of you, it's going to be a little bit more on one end of this, and for some of you, it's a little bit more on the other end of this, but really the whole purpose of Coaching Mastery Circle is for you to have a space to be able to connect in and touch in throughout the month, in order to be able to go deeper, both with your coaching, your transformational skills, how you're working one-on-one with clients, your groups, your curriculum with your groups. So this is a space where I invite you to bring your client case studies, right? So anything that's going on with clients that you need support on, this is the place to bring it to. I invite you to bring questions that you have about curriculum or how to create group containers or what's going on with exercises, anything like that. This is the space to bring it to. Any inner issues that are coming up around who you are as a practitioner or blocks to being fully present with your clients, this is the space for us to go deeper. And so I want you to bring all of those to our Q&A calls to support you in going deeper with your skills, to support you in going deeper with who you are as a practitioner. For those of you who also want to practice your skills, once a month we're going to have a practicum. And for those of you that have been through Sacred Depths or in Sacred Depths, I think everybody here has. We're gonna do them a little bit how we do the practicums in Sacred Depth. So each month we'll be looking at a different foundational transformational skill. It could be listening, it could be breakthrough questioning, it could be creating awareness, strategizing, visioning. And you know, we'll see how it goes. We have 90 minutes, and my guess, but I wanna kind of see how it goes, is that we'll do one practice, everybody together, like we do in Sacred Depths. And then I'll also, after that, divide you guys into groups to do specific partner-shared skill building. So you have access to skill building. And then the other piece, just around skills and transformational work and all of that, is every now and again, if we have time, as I am coaching you guys in our Q&A calls, if I do a process that's less consulting and more inner work with someone, if we have the space, I'll take time to break down the coaching that I just did so that you can also go deeper there. I'll also put out in the next week or two an opportunity if you want a partner or a buddy to practice with. There's the opportunity for that as well. So I know some of you have really benefited from doing the partner coaching in Sacred Depths, and you want to continue with that. And so I want to make that available for you as well. So that's one big part of Coaching Mastery Circle. Now, that being said, I also know that some of you want business support as well. And so I want to provide that in this container for you. Now, first, and you know, you already know this, I shared this with you when I invited all of you, but I want to say this again. The business work that we're going to do in this container is obviously not a replacement for private coaching, right? Where I can't hold your hand that tightly. And it's not even a replacement for like a, you know, I hate to use the term higher end, but just indulge me here for a moment, like a higher end business mastermind that's solely and exclusively devoted to business, right? Those are much tighter containers. What we're going to be doing here is a little bit different. You know, so that being said, it's not those things, but you know, I always give a lot. I'm going to give you as much as I can, even without that, you know, holding you in such a tight container around the business. So here's, if you are wanting business support, here is how we're going to do that. And here's what you can get. Number one, our Q&A calls, right? So you can bring all those client pieces that I shared earlier to Q&A calls, but anything that's coming up in your business, we've got 2 times a month, 90 minutes. I want you to bring questions around your messaging, around your marketing, around your systems, around your sales, any of that, please bring that forward and I'll help you with that. So that's one piece, but we've got some more. So number two, once a month, you'll have, I added this in, it's a bonus call with Caitlin. Some of you guys know Caitlin on my team. She's awesome. You'll have a 90-minute call. We tried to schedule them towards the beginning of the month because the purpose of those calls is you'll spend about 30 minutes blueprinting out your month. So you'll blueprint out your business goals for that month, what action steps you need to take week by week to get there. And Caitlin can support you on that if you have questions, so that you'll have a plan every month for your month in terms of, you know, what you want to be doing. And then the rest of the call, 60 minutes, will be a co-working call, a get it done call, where you can actually pick a chunk of something that you want to get done, and you'll have that container to get it done, and you'll have Caitlin, access to Caitlin for that entire time for any coaching or questions that you have as you get your work done. I'm really excited to be able to add this for those of you that want it. Not all of you are going to want this, but for those of you that want it, it's going to be really awesome and another touch point to keep you accountable. So you'll have that. I'm going to be sharing with, you'll also get a monthly worksheet for blueprinting and then some other worksheets to keep you accountable. So for those of you that have some trouble or have had some obstacles in keeping yourself organized in terms of outreach to prospects every month and how you're doing outreach, you'll have different tools for that as well. And of course, whether it's on the skills end of things or the business end of things, we'll also have a Facebook group. I don't think the team has invited anyone yet, but you'll get invited today or tomorrow. Please, you know, just in between our calls, ask about, you know, anything that you, questions that you have for me, ask in the Facebook group. As much as I can do over Facebook, I will, and we can help each other. And then speaking of helping each other, I want to speak about that for a moment. So one of the reasons why I decided to move Coaching Mastery Circle to Zoom is because I know that some of you, people have been asking me for ages to move calls to Zoom, and I'm just a dinosaur and it's taken me this long, but I recognize that there can be value to it. So bear with me as I get used to being on Zoom more. But the other thing is I really wanted you guys to be able to see each other. I know some of you are off camera right now, but as much as you can, you know, if it's right, of course, don't put yourself on camera if it's not, but you know, the more that we can see each other's faces, the more that we can use the chat in Zoom as our class, you know, our sessions are happening, the more that you can share with each other in the Facebook group, just the more support you'll get, but also the more you'll feel held to be accountable to do the things that you want to do, right? You get more invested when you feel more connected. And I don't want you guys to feel connected to me only. You are an amazing group of individuals and practitioners. And I want you to feel connected to each other as much as is right for you. So this isn't like a mandate, it's just an invitation. In general, make the program work for you, right? Use it in however you need to. For some of you, it's gonna be dropping in to ask a question. For others, it's gonna be you showing up present for everything. I will say, and you all know me, so you know this, I will answer as much as I can. I will give you as much as I can, but I need for you to participate in order to do that. So you will get, as with everything, you will get the most out of this if you put it in, right? That doesn't mean spending tons of time, but it does mean being present and participating. If at some point you feel like you need some extra one-on-one support, that's available for you. You have the opportunity to sign up for a private call with me if you should want that at any point. And also with any of my team coaches. So you've got that. I can talk more about that another time. I don't want to take time today on that, but you have that as well if you need the one-on-one support. So that's the lay of the land in terms of the program. Any questions that you guys have on any of that? On how we're going to work or different calls or anything like that? You can raise your hand. Or just...
Do I need to raise a hand or something?
That's okay. Yeah.
So... Is it kind of just random questions, or will there be allocated time for, you know, each specific, like, so can someone be asking a client question and then I can ask a business question? And
yeah, I used to separate it out, but I found that like people different, because this is again, a looser container program. It's like, I don't know, an elevated membership almost, if you will. I found that just like whatever you need in the moment, ask in that Q&A call instead of separating them out. The other thing I realized I forgot to mention is you have a whole library of recordings. So you've got all of the business recordings from Sacred Depths, but there are additional ones here, different types of marketing training and messaging training and presentation training and all of that. So you've also got like a treasure trove of resource by way of information too.
And where is that located?
In the member center.
Oh, okay. And that's part of the Mastery Circle.
Yes.
Oh, great.
Okay, good. Any other cues? And let's use the hand raising option just for when we go into the Q&A, so that we'll just start to get used to that too. So any other cues just on the format and how to use the program? All right, Anne is saying you only see, what is it that you only see scheduled through 2020?
The blueprinting calls.
Yeah, we only scheduled them through 2020 because I wanted to see if people, because it's a bonus, sometimes when you add bonuses, people don't actually want it, you know? So I wanted to see how many people are actually gonna show up and do it. You know, if it's just like one person each time, we won't. I have a feeling that's not gonna be the case, but we'll schedule in October, November, just based on what we see in September, October.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, thanks for asking that. Inbal.
Hi, sorry, it took me a second to figure out unmuting. So in the schedule that you shared, you distinguished between like Q&A calls and practicum calls. So I wanted to suggest, for I'm sure others have thought about this as well, at least in my calendar, it's helpful, or I'm trying to differentiate this year between the Q&A calls or like skill building calls and the practicum calls, just so I'm not like saving up my questions and then it's like a practicum.
Right.
So I just wanted to put that out there. I actually tried to like put them correctly in my calendar.
I'm so glad you're sharing that. I recommend that to everybody. Thanks for bringing that in, Inbal. Label the calls in your calendar, whether it's a Q&A call or the practicum or the blueprinting, for the exact reason that Inbal said, because if you have a burning question that you wanted my voice to voice on, and then you get to the call and it's a practicum call, you're going to be disappointed. So it's good to know, you know, what you're showing up. Okay, great. Any other cues on format? All right. So from there, as I said, I want to take a couple minutes to do a little bit of visioning and intention setting and looking. So you have some touch points for yourself as we begin to move forward. So I always think of September as the new year. I think of January as the new year, but I think between, you know, school, growing up in New Jersey, school always started in September. So it, to me, September is also the beginning of a new year. Plus it's usually the Jewish New Year. So I'm just like trained and, you know, September is kind of the beginning of a new year. So let's think about the next 12 months. So it is a way we're starting the program. It is a fresh new year. So I want you to think forward 12 months from now, next September. We're in September 2021. Hopefully the world looks a lot better than it does right now in September 2021. And a lot is going to happen over these next 12 months. What is it that you would have liked to accomplish by way of your transformational skills and your work with clients, whether it's one-on-one or groups? We're going to get to business goals in a moment, but first, in terms of your coaching skills, your transformational skills, your work with clients, your work with groups, what is it, where do you want to be in a year from now? And a helpful way to think about this is like, what's your edge? You know, what's the next edge that you're ready to kind of move through over this next year? I recently heard, it was a YouTube exercise video that I was doing the exercise, but I recently heard this woman was saying, growth happens on the edges. And I really loved that. So what's your edge for the next 12 months? Where do you want to go next? You know, and some things to think about are like, you know that you're really great maybe at holding the space and container, but over the next 12 months, you want your questioning skills to really improve. Or you know you want to go deeper with somatic visualization, or you feel like your clients are getting good results, but you know that you can go even deeper and they can feel more satisfied. Or if you're just beginning, you know, maybe it's just that you feel confident when you show up for sessions. That can be an edge, right? So for you, what's your edge with your transformational work? Give you guys another moment with that. And then next question. In 12 months from now, what would you like to have accomplished in your business? So this can range from filling your full private practice, right? And if that's for you, I want you to name how many people it takes for you to have, everybody is going to be different for a full private practice. Or maybe for you in over the next 12 months, you've got a full private practice and you want to also move to groups. Maybe it's about getting your first or next 3 clients, 6 clients, whatever it is. Maybe there's a particular income number that is associated with the next 12 months. Maybe it's about freeing up more time for yourself. You can name more than one thing, right? So what is it that you would like to create by way of your business over the next 12 months? Take another moment with that. And take a look at all the things that you just wrote down, whether it's on the skills end of things or practitioner end of things or on the business end of things. And for each thing, I want you to just take a look and ask yourself, is this a doable stretch? So we always want our goals to be both. We definitely want them to be doable. And we also want them to be a stretch. So are each of these goals that you've written down for the next 12 months a doable stretch? If they're not, tweak them. All right. Next question. I want you to go through each of your goals and just quickly identify for each why you want to accomplish this goal over the next 12 months. The why is really, really important. You guys know this just from sacred depths and being transformational practitioners, that when we can connect to a why, it can be inspiring, it can be motivating. But the other reason why I'm asking you this question is because sometimes we don't have a good answer to why. And sometimes in that case, it means that it's a more of a should than a desire, right? So I am this year revising my website. We're actually doing like a rebrand and all of that. I was two years ago already, I kind of wanted to do it. But when I asked myself why, it wasn't a good reason. It wasn't necessary. It would have been busy work for me. Now it's become necessary for different reasons. So ask yourself why. Why is it, you know, for each of the things, why do you want to accomplish this? Why is this important? It will either support inspiration or show you that maybe it's a little bit of a misguided goal. Take about another 30 seconds with that. Okay, so I know we're moving through this pretty quickly. You can always go back and fill in more, but hopefully at this point you're starting to have some goals in place for yourself that are doable with a stretch, that are aligned. And so next question I want you to consider is, what is the fear that could potentially get in your way of accomplishing these goals, right? We just want to name it as best as we know up front. We want to name it so that we can look for it. What's the fear that could potentially get in your way? And if it is a doable stretch, if stretch is involved, there is a potential fear, because that's part of human nature when we stretch. Whatever the fear is that's coming up. So best possible thing is to be consciously working on it now, right? Befriend your fear process, rewiring negative thoughts, that kind of thing. So that would be best to just, you know, be working with it actively before it even comes up. but I know not all of us have unlimited time for that. So next best thing is I want you to just remember this when the fear comes up, right? So, and we'll of course be working with it throughout the year, but watch, you know, be conscious, watch yourself. Okay, I got just a couple other questions. The next one sometimes can make people get a little like into some anxiety. Have fun with this next couple of questions. If you notice yourself getting a little nervous, just, you know, keep it in the fun visioning place, not in the pressure place. We've got 4 months almost, just about, between now and the end of the year. How many clients, new clients, would you like to bring on over the next 4 months? Between now and the end of the year. You can include renewals too. If you've got people coming up for renewal, maybe keep that, you know, both separate just so you can think about it. But what are your goals between now and the end of the year by way of bringing on clients? And there are a couple of you who are just starting out, and I really want to encourage you, like, you are ready. I know everybody in this group, you are ready to bring on at least one, if not two or three clients by the end of this year, even if you don't have any and nobody has ever paid. So how many? Doable stretch here, right? We want it to be a stretch, but you don't want to set yourself up for failure. You know, if you don't want to just randomly write down 20 if that's really not doable over the next 4 months. 20 is a lot, just FYI. Okay, so next question, just continue to bear with me and breathe. Whatever number you wrote down, and I like to kind of play some math games with marketing sometimes because it can help. So in order to bring on that amount of clients, particularly if it's clients that you're going to be having enrollment conversations with, so unless it's like, you know, workshops that just cost a little bit of money, we're talking about enrollment conversations of some sort. Let's be super conservative and say, and you know where your enrollment skills are. Let's say you close somewhere either one out of every two enrollment conversations or one out of every three enrollment conversations. Some of you might be one out of every four. But based on that, how many prospects will you need to generate over the next 4 months? So in other words, if you want to bring on five clients between now and the end of the year, and you know that you generally close one out of every three, I think that's a conservative number, then you know you're going to want to generate 15 enrollment conversations or prospect calls. Now, some of you, like Juliana, I'm looking at you, you know, if you're not doing one-on-one work, use law of adaptation in any way that you need for this particular question. So I find it helpful anytime I like launch a program, you know, I find it helpful to say, I want this many people. And so that means I need to generate this many prospects because that lets me know how much marketing I'm going to be doing. So that's the next question for you is, in order to generate these prospects, what kind of marketing are you going to use? Now, for most of you, I don't want you to name any more than three strategies, unless your business is built out with a lot of support, right? I don't want you to name any more than three strategies. So strategies, for example, are I'm going to be doing two preview presentations between now and the end of the year. I'm going to be doing individual outreach. I'm going to be doing asking for referrals. I'm going to do some kind of social media campaign or challenge, right? And having only one strategy, by the way, particularly if you're newer to business, is totally fine, like individual outreach. I don't want you to overwhelm yourself. This is about simplification as much as possible. So what are the 1 to 3 strategies that you really want to focus on and really master in order to bring on those prospects? And 1 is completely fine for some of you. More than 3 if you've got a lot going on and you have systems and you know you can handle it. I'll take one more moment with that. I know we're moving quick. Got 2 more questions for you. So next question, looking at all of your goals and all that's come through so far, what is the top boundary that you know is ready to be firmed up for you to be able to accomplish your goals? What is your top boundary? So for some of you, it might be at home, something around childcare, or you know, whatever it is. For some of you, it might be how much you're emailing with clients. You know, there's a more of a boundary that needs to be set there, or your schedule with work, or setting a boundary for when you're doing your marketing work, or you know, whatever it is for you. Possibilities are endless. What's the top boundary that you know is gonna make the difference for you to be able to accomplish these goals? Okay, so I know I've given you a lot to think about and process, and you'll process beyond this call. I want to give a couple more minutes just for processing a little bit more. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get you guys into groups of 2. And you'll have 7 minutes total. So each partner will have about 2.5 minutes to share. Just share anything that came through, anything that you want to express, verbalize, anything that you want to share to kind of bring it in more deeply for you. And then your partner, and I'll let you know when the 2.5 minutes are up. I can do that in the breakout rooms. And then your partner will have a minute to reflect. So just offer what they're hearing, any feedback, any thoughts, ideas, suggestions, encouragement, whatever it is, and then we'll switch. So give me a second to get us. There may be one group, there is going to be one group of 3. So you, if you're in the group of 3, just manage each person, probably will just get a little bit less time. So you can manage, I'll let you, your group of 3 manage your time. Okay, here you guys go. Yay, everybody made it back. It always feels magical to me. So hopefully all of this that we've done at the beginning of this call has given you a lot to think about, and also possibly some has given you some questions to ask. So we'll move into Q&A for the call. Couple things. Some of you have been with me with Q&A calls. Some of you are new, so I want to share a couple of things. So first of all, don't worry if what you're bringing is applicable to the group. If it's not, and it's not appropriate, I will let you know. 99.9999999% of the time, it is. Feel free to bring forward an inner question. So something that, an inner block that you're having, anything on the inner level, feel free to bring forward an outer question, something that you might need support on with, like I said earlier, client case or marketing or whatever it is. And we will all use law of adaptation for ourselves. So what law of adaptation is even if you are observing, listening to somebody being coached, that has a very different work than you or is in a different place than you are, there's still pearls for you to pull out for yourself and wisdom for you. So activate that law of adaptation. You can feel free to bring forward anything that came up in the beginning part of this call or just anything else that you need support on. And also if you just wanna share what you're taking away from the beginning part of the call, whatever you need. So you can go ahead, we'll use the hand raising function for this. So if you've got a cue, and if you are not sure where the hand raising function is, I think if you go down, I think, well, now I don't know for you because I'm leading it. If somebody knows, can you just pop it in the chat, how you raise your hand? I think if you go to participants, there'll be the option for you. Participants is at the bottom of your screen. Okay, great. Inbal. Oh, and one other thing I just wanna tell you guys, one of my resistance to Zoom is, some of you guys know this, I like to pace when I coach. So if at some point you don't see me on the screen, it's just because I'm walking around. So just give me that grace. All right, Inbal.
Hi, everyone. Yeah, super happy to be here. So my question is, you know, for me, I'm really focused on bringing in more clients. And I also have this sense of creating like a really chill group program. Like, I'm not trying to have like a major. So one of my questions is going through these goals is, so my strategies are outreach, you know, referrals, and then a preview presentation. So overall, I'm curious, can a preview presentation, how can I combine that? Can it also be like a really short 6-week program? You know, but related to that question, it's, can I just do a chill program without a ton of marketing and like a big launch just by reaching out to people? Like, what I'm clear on is that I want to create space for a few women, but I don't need it to be like, I really think among my clients and former clients and their people, I just, the bigger the marketing is, the less likely I will do it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I guess the last thing I'll say,
go ahead.
We've had so like, we, as in you, me and Marcy, have had so many ideas over the last 6 months. But it's in, you know, it's like doing something about like the patriarchy, doing something around fears. And I think there's potential in all of them. And I'm more like, can we just have a group for women to deal with all the shit that's among us and coming?
Yeah. So first of all, you get to do it the way that you want, right? If you want it chill and you don't like, I think part, you kind of said this, but I just want to say it more clearly, like, part of why you haven't gone with any of the ideas or the marketing is because I think you want something a little bit more pared down. Like that's what's going to get you into more motion right now. So if that's what you need to get you into more motion, 100%, right? For you and for everybody, it doesn't have to be this big elaborate plan with the preview call and all the different things. If you know you want it chill, if you know you want it intimate, if you know that you have people that you can connect to on it, do it that way. Do it by invite only, you know, and let people know this is by invitation only. And I really thought a lot about who I was going to invite into this special group. And you are one of the people, and here's why, right? Like that will help make your case and activate your prospects 100%. I feel like, tell me, you may not have been asking this, but I feel like you were asking about topic, like, can it not be about the patriarchy or this or that, but just let's deal with what's in front of us. Again, you can do whatever, you know, however feels right for you, but in terms of marketing, and you know this, Inbal, you do need some gap and vision points, or else it's going to feel too nebulous and people aren't going to know why they're signing up and what they're getting out of it and what they want. And it's going to be harder to bring people in. So you do want some touch points in there. It doesn't have to be so tight, but it does have to have more of a container in terms of those touch points for people to get activated. Am I answering all of your questions?
Totally. And while I've got you, is there anything that's coming up for you based on, like, I don't know if you remember, but just, you know, there's one option was like working with fears. One was around the patriarchy. Just if anything's coming to you in this moment around like an umbrella or some sort of overview that will essentially create a container.
Yes. I can't remember the phrase I typed you, you know, in like a recent email I typed you and I said, I want you to work with your clients more on this. And it was around, and you're like, yes, that it was.
Yeah. Okay.
I forget how I phrased it, but it was around how to like be this transformational leader that is working internally and externally through issues of patriarchy, however it was that I phrased, because I think that's, tell me if I'm getting this right, I feel like that's what your heart really wants. Like that's what you always come back to, Inbal, is these internal patriarchal structures and these external patriarchal structures and how that impacts empowerment and agency in the world. And your ideal clients are keen on that. Like that, I think that's something that's important to you. Now you have to relate it when you speak about it to what's in it for them around it. You're gonna have to get a little bit more clear on possible result gaps and results, right? But how does that land for you?
Yeah, that's right on. That's helpful for me to go back and get into it. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, great. Juliana.
Hi.
Hi.
So my question is around, first of all, I'm so excited. And I've been working with Joanna for a long time, just for context, and I'm finally launching, in the perfect timing, a book and a business. So my question is, it looks like I can go into pre-sales on my book here in the next couple of weeks. And the PR suggestion from the United States is not to really do a proper book launch until after the election. I could go either way. My publisher says about 60 days of pre-sales is good. As I'm creating my brand and the, you know, I'll have a bonus offer for pre-sales that is tied to the book. But what is a good balance of when I'm out talking and promoting the book and inviting people in to classes and working with me? On the back of the book, I've described myself as a down-to-earth spiritual teacher. is the branding, like from my first offerings, is it important to tie it tightly to the book or just kind of have a theme? Or I think you know where I'm going with it, so I'll stop talking.
That's so, first I want to say that's so interesting about the PR recommendation with the election. I wouldn't have even thought about that. So I'm glad they're on top of it with those kinds of trends. It doesn't have to, the workshops and the offerings don't have to be tightly tied to the book. The book, you want the book to be tightly tied to the workshops and the offerings, but not the other way around. So what I mean by that is once someone purchases the book, you want them to know that there's a deeper support available. There's workshops, other ways they can work with you if they want to go deeper, if they want a tighter container, all of that. But it doesn't necessarily have to be so the other way around.
Gotcha.
People can step into a workshop, and yes, you want it around a particular theme, similar to what I was sharing with Inbal. You need to give people something to hook, you know, like meat to hook into, like, oh, I'm going to get this out of it. Yes, this is a problem that I have that I want support on this workshop. Okay. This. And through that, through the workshop, you can always mention the book, if it makes sense, or even provide the book as part of the workshop as a resource, but it doesn't have to be that way.
Gotcha. I think I'm understanding. Let me just say it back from the opposite perspective. So when I'm out there launching the book and sending my information out to people for to be guests on podcasts and things like that to promote the book, the offering, the workshop, whatever I want to bring them into the funnel with, just needs to thematically tie into what I'll be speaking about. And it can, even if it's coming out right after the election, you know, there's plenty of stuff in there of like how to make your own reality, that kind of thing. So that's the way to look at it.
Exactly.
Okay, perfect.
Beautiful. And, you know, I should just mention for everybody, feel free to put in, like, as you're listening to different people, if you also have any thoughts or ideas. Some of you know each other already, some of you don't, but anything you want to pop in the chat also that can be supportive, please do.
Oh, and I do have one technical question. Because I'm creating so much new content, what is the best way to solicit feedback or on something that's not necessarily, I don't need like copywriting help, but like, is that for the Facebook group to kind of put it out to everyone? Or if I have a specific question in the QA? Yeah,
either. So you can bring it to the Q&A or you can put it in the Facebook group. Okay. And I know we're all busy. I will always answer everybody in the Facebook group. But as much as we can support each other in the Facebook group, that would be awesome too.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Dina.
Hello.
Hi.
Good, you can hear me. I was having problems with my audio early, so I was like bouncing around and didn't have video on, but so far so good. Yeah, I guess I'll just do like a check-in, and I'm at a place where I am going to be like launching again this year for a group program. So I'm happy to have like more of the practical numbers here, because as I look at them, I'm like laughing that it's like, that might be impossible. But this is good because I never do this. I always wing the numbers and then it's always less then. So I have basically, you know, like I've taken some time off from really being visible on social media, which is always my cycles and seasons, trying to get more consistent there, but I just didn't. But I met a guy and I focused on personal life and all of that was amazing. And now I want to launch for the end of October to start my group peace practice program again. So my goal is to have, 10 to 20, I said, in the group clients. And then I wouldn't mind getting maybe like 3 one-on-one clients. And maybe they come from that, so it could be overlapping prospect-wise. Mm-hmm. So then I just kind of like, based on your numbers, I just kind of like said, maybe I need like 50 prospect calls for that. And then when I think about it like that.
What's the price point of the group?
So it's $997 paid in full, $1,200 or $400 a month if they pay per month. And it's like kind of a hybrid. So they get 2 one-on-ones and it's the group. I'll probably eventually raise it, but for now that is what I'm going with.
Yeah. Yeah, so eventually you may not need prospect calls for something at $997, but my sense is like for where you are now, you are going to have those calls. Some of those, so I get it, 40 to 50 is like an overwhelming number, right? And it, you may not need that many depending on your conversion rate and how precise you get at calling in the right person. So that's one thing. The other thing is, I'm trying to think of how to simplify this for you without taking shortcuts that aren't gonna work for you. So one is to be like, okay, I'm just, it's 40 to 50, that's what it is. That's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of calls, but it is what it is. You could shortcut a little if you do some previews and the preview presentations are really strong and the calls to action are really strong, particularly if it's people that have purchased from you before. You may be able to slip some people in without an enrollment conversation from those, but you would need like a strong preview for it.
Yeah, and I know we always circle around this preview call thing, which I have to go listen to like whatever content you have on that, but my outreach plan was going to be individual outreach, and then I did say like virtual sort of like workshops, so I guess that would be a preview call, but I was having like random topics, but a preview call is a very specific content that's based on the program.
So it should relate to the program, right? So I'll give you guys an example. We're about to offer Curriculum Lab again, which is a container to learn how to create curriculum, how to create exercises for groups, and then an opportunity to do it in real time as we go through the program. I'm gonna be doing a preview presentation for Curriculum Lab that's all about how do you tap into your unique thought leadership? So it's related, right? Because when you create curriculum, you're creating it from your thought leadership, from your ideas, from all of who you are. So the preview could have also been like, 10 whatever keys to a great curriculum. It can be that tight. Or it can be just super related where one thing leads to the other. So you do want a connection. Whoever would sign up for the preview, because of the gap in the vision of the preview, it's a similar gap in vision for the actual program.
Okay. So, so I guess I'm even just based on what, and again, maybe I didn't do it exactly what you did, so I'll go and investigate that, but just even that number, like thinking, okay, if I do like one of these things in between, and then I'm, maybe trying to like do individual outreach, which again, my audience isn't huge. And then if I start posting on social media again, like maybe I can also do like a challenge, but I'm still wondering like, will those numbers add up? Is there something else?
Yeah.
Or maybe I just do the best I can and get what I can.
So I don't know. Like I want you to try and see how strong the actual marketing is, right? Like how well you activate gap and vision and bridge and all of that will help bolster numbers in. Mm-hmm. And also not for right now, but I think Dana, for you, one of your goals for the next 12 months is to do something that's going to expand your community. Yeah. Whether it's a JV project, or I know it's hard to invest in ads because it's an investment, but some of the main ways are JV projects, ads, creating an opt-in that you get different people to share. It's harder to, there's a less of a science to like, this thing is going to go viral, right? So I don't know how to create that, but having different people share or some kind of JV project is probably something to start thinking about for some time, begin, you know, like for 6 months of 2021. And then for now, with the people that are in front of you, yes to, you know, activating and all of the, them in all those different ways that you mentioned.
Yeah, because I mean, to be honest, yes, I'm realizing I do so much better when people can like connect with me. So like when I was doing stuff in person, which I'm not even super comfortable and I don't know. So I'm not doing that just yet. But it's like I would get people just coming up to me and this. So I'm trying to think of like the best way to leverage that now. But I guess it is just maybe starting to reach out to people again, get into the inbox again. And then do, yeah, like, I don't think it's anything magical. That maybe is what I'm like, tell me the magical thing. But I guess it's just this. And starting probably as ASAP.
Yeah. You want it for end of October, you want to start.
That's now. Like when I want to start the program. So I guess everything.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would plot out when you want the previews to be, the dates of the different email, you know, all the things. And you'd want to start now.
Yeah. All right. Oh, I have a one really quick, like if my... At this point, I'm going to probably run with it, but my group program's 3 months. It's like a hybrid of one-on-one and it's it's $997. And then I'm only charging $500 a month for my one-on-one clients. Is that super weird that it's like almost...
Wait, how long is the program again?
Both of them, I'm just talking about like if it's like a three-month package or a three-month program. If you're paying like the group would be $400 a month for like weekly group calls and then two one-on-ones in there. And then the one-on-one I do three calls a month for 500.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Not weird, but there's a mismatch in pricing. Okay. Dana, post it in the Facebook group, what's included in each thing, like exactly how many calls, how long, what the price points are. And I can give you some ideas for places to tweak on that.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, Kelsey.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
I just wanted to raise my hand so that I could get in the practice of saying something. One of the things that came really clear to me was the first question you asked, was it some about the inner stuff? And one of the things as a coach that I'm wanting to work on in the inner to help my clients with is better accountability. Like we vision, we set their goals, and then, you know, we talk about other things and we talk about what's coming up for them and whatever. And then we sort of sometimes I don't rein it back in for them. And I was like, oh, wow, that's exactly what I need too. I've been setting this goal for myself around the group program for a year now. And I even worked with Kara and, you know, I'm right there and I have a lot of resistance, but I'm also not sure some of it is real. Like in California right now, the sky is black, like it's dark, right? Like we are in the middle of a pandemic and fires and my kid is working from home at the same desk as me. And it's like, one of the things that is a resistance that I hear of my clients or is I don't have time for one more thing. I don't have time for one more thing, not even a group program that's supposed to help me slow down and like go easier on myself and stop overdoing, which is my goal, right? So it's like, I am in this place where, yeah, I want to launch this thing. And does anybody have any place for one more thing right now? Does anybody really want one more group program? And given that, how much force or work and marketing is it going to be? Like, where's the cost benefit? You know, I want to hold myself accountable. I want to have these goals and hold the container. And I think that's part of why I, you know, I'm doing this program with you is to sort of blueprint and really hold myself to that. And oh my God, can I really launch a group program in the middle of all this? Like literally the sky is black right now out here.
No, I know. It's crazy times. It is crazy times. And people are still purchasing plenty of things and investing their time. And so my question for you is, for your ideal client and you're a version of your ideal client, what result is worth her investment of time? And I'm gonna add a piece to that, I'm going to stack this question, but just to help remember, we always choose to invest our time, money, and energy from our reptilian brain. And what that means is from the part of our brain that really believes we need something in order to survive in the way that we want. So what is it that your ideal client, like what is the result that their reptilian brain deeply believes that they need and they want?
I think, and I think this comes from reptilian brain. I think they want to feel more calm and at ease and able to achieve, right? Like able to feel good about themselves and their achievements. That's the part that's a little, I'm not sure. And feel calm and at ease in the world right now with their families and their work, whatever their work in the world is, whatever their version of family and is, but to feel safe, calm and at ease, meeting their goals.
Yeah. So my sense is that like baked into slow power, you've got the calm and at ease, like you really hone in there. I have a feeling, and you can tell me, you know your ideal client best, those things are really important for her, so long as they come hand in hand with the achievement piece that you mentioned. My sense is that achievement is really big and part of the reptilian brain of your ideal client. That's why she has the calm and time issues in the first place. Right. Like she really wants her calm and peace and space, but she wants to feel that she is achieving and of, I don't know, this may not be exactly right for your ideal client, but of value in the world, and her ego needs to be stoked and all of that. Yeah. My sense is that the calm and the peace, you're probably right, for most people isn't going to be enough in the climate right now. Right. You want to keep that in 100% because that's such a big part of slow power. But slow power is for overachieving women.
Right.
So that achievement piece, I think, is important to be in there in order for people to be willing to invest their time.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that maybe there's the question, is how much are people really needing or wanting or feeling like they want to achieve right now, or are people giving themselves a break right now that I don't have to achieve as much? I guess that's where I need to pressure test it a little bit.
I would say that may not, achievement may not be the right word, but people's desire and motivation, right? Like we have seasons, but it's actually not enough. Like we've been in COVID for long enough that that's not activated anymore. Like people are who want to create and want to do and want to achieve. They may have a short season here and there of not, but it's right. So what I would say is, if you can get in touch with, like have a phone conversation, a short phone conversation with two or three people who fit the ideal client profile, and just tell them straight out, like, I'm looking for language, I'm doing some marketing research here, and then ask some questions around that and see, how they answer. It can be around like how they feel about the word achievement, but also like lay it out, like, here's what I want to offer. What would make it worth your while and your time to step in? What is it that you would want to receive by way of results? Okay. It's going to be in the arena of everything we're talking about here, but you'll get some good language. For everybody, I highly recommend interviews like this every now and again with ideal clients. We do them routinely. You know, I do them in my business because we're all smarty pants and we're all brilliant, but there's only so much we know in our own little boxes. It's always just so valuable to hear from someone who fits an ideal client profile, what they really desire, what they're scared of, what words are activating for them, what words they don't. And so it's a great practice anyway.
Okay, that makes sense. Great.
Yeah, good. Tammy. Tammy, are you there?
Sorry, I always forget to unmute myself and then I'm just talking and talking. So, sorry. Hi.
Hi.
It's so lovely to see all the women on the call. So,
there's also a man on the call.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. And the man.
Yay.
But my ladies that I've met and love, it's nice to see their faces again, too. So I emailed you this question, and if you feel like you can't answer it now, that's fine. But
I saw something from you. We just moved last night because of renovations, so I didn't.
It's totally okay. I just wanted to, you know, make sure. I figured I'd ask today, but so I've kind of ixnayed the idea of taking on Victoria as my apprentice, but I feel like I want to still profit from referring clients. So just curious if you have any thoughts, like if I refer a client to her who's like a new referral to me, do I start like by seeing them and then kind of refer them to her so that like, they're connected to me, or do I just refer them and somehow make a cut from that? And then the same thing with clients that are my clients and I do refer, I don't know, do you have any ideas?
Yeah, now I'm remembering the email. So first, when I got the email, I was rethinking, you know, based on what you had shared, it was like, oh no, she's not gonna work as being on your team because she's incommunicado and not in the ways. But I just started wondering, and I'll just ask you this first, like, is that actually true? Like, is this an isolated incident that she hasn't been in communication with you, or do you sense that this is how it is, that she's not going to keep you in the loop on clients?
I think my original concern with her was that she might be a little bit slacking on some of this stuff and why she hasn't been able to like create a practice, which was what we were going to, my goal was to kind of get her up to speed in that space. And there's been other incidences where like we were supposed to communicate and she didn't. And like, I had to then kind of reach out. So I do feel like it is part of like who she is and in this moment in time. So.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just asking about that because it is harder to profit. And I get why you want to just for everybody's context. Tammy has an overflow of clients in her practice and she doesn't want to just turn people away. She wants to turn them to a trusted practitioner, but still wants to profit from it. We're thinking about bringing another practitioner onto her team, but that's not working. So yeah. So, I mean, my next question is there someone else that you can bring on your team? Referrals would be like last option if we're just thinking about income generation, right? So is there anyone else that you could bring on your team?
My biggest problem is like, I might be leaving in 2 months, you know? So do I really want to like put that energy, my last 2 months of energy into kind of trying to create that? Like, I wish I created it like a year or two ago, but I didn't. So I'm just trying to think like, am I just going to throw away this right now and just like make my money?
That's the question, you know, and that I really want you to sit with is like, because if you have built something so beautiful and so just so strong there, and if you don't, you could just walk away with it. Like that's absolutely an option. And if that's aligned, that's a beautiful option. But if you feel like you still, you want something to come of that, then even if you are leaving in 2 months, it's totally worth it to bring someone on. 100%. And it doesn't have to be draining for you. You know, you can do it in a way that's not, we can look at that. But I think that's the first question.
Okay.
For you to really sit with that and, you know, see what wants to come through there. If it turns out not, you can do referral. It's not going to be very lucrative, but that's okay because that's not, you're moving on to somewhere else, right? But I want you to sit with that for a little bit. And let me ask you, as you sit with that, like what is a good, what's the question even underneath the question that you want to be asking yourself around this?
I'm getting mysterious with the questions. Okay.
Well, I'm asking you to answer it now. If you...
Oh, okay. I think there's so many levels. Like, there's the level of like value, like all the hard work I put in, and I don't know.
Yeah, so as you were just saying that, I'll tell you what I heard. Is it's important for you to distinguish between what you want to hold on to because you really want to hold on to it versus what you're clinging on to because of shoulds or ego. And that, if that resonates, I would make two lists.
Okay.
Yeah, and let's see what wants to come through there.
Okay.
Okay, and Anne is saying in the chats, and this is a great suggestion, to live one day as if you'd made the choice and see how you feel, and then another day with the other choice. So that can be helpful as well.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. I've got three more hands raised, and I'm determined, hopefully you guys can hang on. If you need to hop off, of course, but I'm going to get Anne and Marlene and Shamet. Anne.
So I had two things. I'll try to make them both brief, and you can tell me which to leave off for later. One is on the inner work side of things, and then one is a very specific energy flow issue in session with a client that I have. But the inner work stuff, it's the same stuff I've been dealing with, and I feel like I'm banging my head against a wall. It's been an unusual summer of having people have unusual needs that aren't normal, and I'm finding all of my energy just eaten up with making sure that everybody else is taken care of. And I recognized last week that part of the inner work isn't just having a value that I hold dear, that if someone needs help and I can help, that I should step in, but also not placing myself in that same basket and not valuing my needs as equally worthy as everyone else's. And I'm kind of challenged in figuring out how to revamp how I flow my energy and how I flow my day and my week to make sure that the time that I set aside for this gets honored, but without leaving other people in vulnerable places. So that was that piece. As far as the flow with the client session, I have a client.
Let's do that one first. Yeah, let's take that. So first I just wanna make sure I'm understanding what you're saying. What I'm hearing is that there are people around you that have needs that from you specifically, and that it's really important for you to show up for those needs. And then this is the part I'm not 100% sure that I'm clear on. Are you saying that it's been hard for you to then make space for your own needs, or, and that you're worried that you're making your needs more important than others? That was the piece I wasn't.
No, that's a good clarification. So I tend to not acknowledge my own needs when somebody else around me is in need.
Okay.
And I think that underneath that is a mistaken belief or a shadow belief that it would be selfish to acknowledge my own needs. And I've been working with that for a long time, you know. That's going to be ongoing work. And now that I'm trying to structure my time more carefully so that I have enough time to devote to rebuilding my practice and to really giving the kind of time and attention that I want to this work and to other structures that I've been trying to put into place. I'm finding that it keeps getting undermined by all of the other stuff from the outside.
Now I got it.
And also, you know, the piece of asking other people in the household, for example, to step up and do things and then having them drop the ball. And you know, I spend the energy chasing down my stepdaughter to empty the dishwasher, or I can spend the time emptying the dishwasher so that I have space on the counter to make a sandwich.
I have no idea what you're talking about, by the way.
I'm sure nobody has ever had that experience.
Okay, so now I got it. And I love it that, like, usually, you know, like, I get it right away, and I feel like the miscommunication is because of your own internal miscommunication. It's like, wait, is she saying that she's making her needs more important? You know, like, I feel like there's that fog of chaos that you're in. And I know that you're working on this, and you have been working on this, and what I want to offer for you, and you can tell me if this lands, it may not, is less sex. It's not very sexy. It's not like deep inner work, but it is inner work in a different way.
Okay.
Because I think you're working on the beliefs. Like, you have so much awareness and breakthroughs. I want to bring this to the behavioral level a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so here's my thought: is as you move through your day, before you make a decision, if you can, we're not, you know, as much as you can catch yourself before you make a decision about your time, I want you to ask yourself, am I making this decision from the place of other people's needs are more important than mine? That's the one question. And then the second question I want you to ask is, if I take care of my own needs right now, is it going to be dire for the other person? Like, is it actually real? So as much as you can do that and track yourself in the moment, mm-hmm. as you make decisions about your time. And then the second piece is, at the end of your day, I want you to review any decisions that you made where you didn't ask that question and ask those questions retroactively.
Okay.
So the idea is that, like I said, you'll start to bring this to the behavior level, and because of course, you still want to work through and turn over the beliefs and the fears and all of that. But I do think you're ready to start making different decisions. And I think you need that, like, pause, that conscious pause and assessment in order to make them, as well as the, like, oh, that was a crappy decision I made this morning. Noted.
Yeah.
Differently tomorrow.
So yeah.
Is that something you think would be helpful?
Yeah, I think having that concrete tracking for a while, actually seeing it, you know, writing it down for myself and being able to, in a way, like, quantify it as well, I think that will also really help. And it's something that I can put on loudspeaker for my family. Like, this is something I'm going to be actively applying. So I may not be showing up for you, and you're going to have to deal, you know, and if it's truly a problem, you have to let me know.
Yeah, you need, like, a safe word.
Right? So that's definitely helpful.
Okay, good. Good, good.
Yeah.
The client flow question, quick or long?
I think it's quick. You know, you attract the people that also need the same kind of help that you need, right? So I adore this client. I love working with her. One of the things I notice we have in common is this drive to give a lot of detailed information for context to make sure that we're going to be heard and understood. And I'm finding when I try to redirect her, when I try to, like, gently pause her, because I'm trying to capture what she's saying in this kind of verbal flood, she gets really anxious. And it doesn't seem to matter. If I reflect back that I'm hearing what she says, there's this pressure, no, I have to say everything that was in my head, or I'm going to miss something important that you needed to know. And she's getting results. She's really thrilled with her results. And I have this sense that we could actually be expanding on it, but we don't have the time because the flood of detail really puts the brakes on. And I've been finding myself these last two sessions just really at a loss for right. how to contain that.
I got it. So my recommendation would be to actually bring this up with her. So to actually have the conversation and say, like, you're doing such good work and you know, you've been able to create this and this and this and this. And one thing I've noticed is that you like to share a lot of detail with me. And of course, like the curious part of me, like I love all of that and it, you know, it's appreciated, but I notice, and tell me if I'm getting this right, that there is a fear inside of you or a belief that if you don't share all of the details, that something, either I'm not gonna get you or something bad is gonna, you know, you're not gonna get the result that you want. Am I getting that right? Right. So first there, and then from there, I would connect that Anne to, you know, where did that come about? Because that's come from a different part of her life, either the not feeling understood, if that's the thing for her, mm-hmm. or like feeling not fully expressed or heard, or, you know, there's something in there for her. So I would use it as an opportunity to see bigger connections and then, work it differently in your container, not just for the container, but so that she can practice that for her, the rest of her, you know, other places in her life.
And that resonates, as it's a professional asset for her and a personal liability to have that dynamic. Yes. And that's been a lot of the work. So there's a, yeah. So I made some notes on that. That's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Great. Marlene.
Hi. First of all, I'm sorry I was so late today. I had a prior commitment, but I'm glad to be here. And I have a question because I'm attending a conference this weekend. It was going to be live. Now it's virtual, of course. And it's all about human design. But I signed up to be a vendor at the event. And they have like an online store and you can put anything you want in there. So I also was able to create three really short videos that they're gonna show as like little mini commercials during the event. Each vendor will get their little mini commercial. So I tried to kind of tie in. You know,
in turning something virtual, turning something in person into virtual. I love that.
Yeah, yeah. So I tried to tie in the hand analysis with the human design and how they can work together. And so what I have a couple questions. One is on this store where I can put anything I want, and people have a variety of paid versus free offers. So I have my hand analysis sessions available, but I'm wondering what I've been brainstorming other things that would be free or low cost just to get people, you know, because people don't know who I am. So like maybe offering a webinar that's free where I could talk about something from hand analysis to get people interested, join a Facebook group. I don't know.
Tell me about the conference and what the like purpose of the conference is and who's, what kind of people are there?
Yeah. So it's kind of a mix of people who are already human design practitioners and then people who are studying human design and then people who are just interested. So it's quite a mix, and they're going to have a lot of different speakers talking about human design and different aspects of your life, whether it's business or personal life or whatever. So quite a variety, I think. But it's all going to be the people who are interested in doing types of readings, right?
So I know they're. I'm wondering. Tell me, this may not have legs at all. That I'm thinking about some kind of webinar that's. This isn't the exact right words, but like the intersection of human design and hand analysis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe it can be five keys or seven keys to, what's the word? Like to apply one to the other. It's not it exactly, but I don't know if that's stirring something up for you. Because I feel like that's your unique, you know, everybody's going to be offering something around, you know, but that's like your unique zone. So something about like how the hand analysis can really enhance your understanding of human design. Mm-hmm.
and how the right. two work together.
Yeah, definitely. And I did kind of tease that in the little commercials, like, you know, what if, how, why would it be that you and someone else have the same human design type and the same profile, and yet you're so, you behave so differently in relationships? Oh, it's because of this in your hands.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. And if people are human design people, I mean, most people in general are this, but particularly if they're human design people, like, they're also like curious, like, they're going to want to know something about themselves. So I would maybe promo in that you'll share, like, this may not be it exactly, but like the three things to look for in your hands that will teach you about who you are as a practitioner, or, you know, something mm-hmm. like that. So give them a little bit, not that they can fully analyze their hands on their own, but like a couple things to look for that's gonna pique their interest around who they are.
Okay.
Probably as a practitioner, since it's most practitioners that are there.
Got it. Okay. And then I haven't heard back from them yet, so I'm trying to find out. We're going to have breakout times and like vendor networking times, just like you would have a regular break at an in-person. But what I don't know for sure is if I'm going to have like my own little Zoom room like this, or whether that just means they're going to go to the store and just browse. So I'm waiting to hear back on that. But if they can come to me and actually interact with me, I was kind of wondering, you know, how to go about, like, what I should offer or do besides just talking, because if I have multiple people at one time or people coming on at different times, it's not like, you know, there's not a sign-up sheet like there is at a booth in person. So,
yeah, I'm wrapping my brain around this because it's a different kind of thing. So this would also be for free, right? Just as ways of connecting.
Right.
So if you have that room, I'm wondering, okay, this may not, I don't know. I'm just brainstorming here off the cuff because this is such a new kind of thing, idea. Sure. But what if each hour you had a different topic? Not that you're talking consistently throughout, you know, the time. I mean, people could pop in whatever topic they have, but maybe the top of each hour, the first 10 minutes, 1 hour is like you're talking about relationships. 1 hour is you're talking about leadership. 1 hour, you know, whatever the different types of hand things or mm-hmm. whatever it is, so that there's a right. little bit to grab onto. And then if people come in the room and you're in conversation with someone else, you just, in the right moment, just welcome that person and say, or even bring them into the conversation a little bit. This is what we're talking about. And mm-hmm. that kind of thing. So you can even do it without the topics if you just kind of do it in that simple way.
Yeah, because I don't think we'll be open all the time. There's going to be set break times
yep.
that people can come. So, but I could have a different focus each break. So, okay.
Yeah, and that could help attract people too, you know, if you have that focus.
Yeah, right, right. Okay. That's good. And, you know, I could even put a link in the chat.
Uh-huh. So
see that when they come on, that they can click on to like get something from me, right? Get on my list and get something.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. I want to hear how it goes.
Thank you.
Shauna, and for all the people that are still on, thank you. We won't normally go this far over, but because it was our first time and we did some other stuff.
Hi. Hi, Joanna. Nice to be here. It's so interesting. I love it. Yeah, thank you. So mine's a bit boring. Mine's business email. So business stuff. So at the moment, I've just got Firefox and it's not working for me. It's horrible. Do you have a recommendation for an email that, you know, is connected to everything else, is a really good platform for systems?
Send out emails to your community.
Yeah.
All that, so kind of, some of the easiest ones are that are also cost effective and intuitive to figure out how to use, I know, is Constant Contact and MailChimp. Anyone who's still on, if there's one that you use that you really...
Well, I have MailChimp. I actually mean the business, your business email, like the email that comes with the that's connected to your website and everything. So I have Microsoft Word, and I notice that that comes with an email as well. Would that be a good one?
Actual email interface?
Yeah, the email. Yeah, I know. It's that basic of a question.
Okay, so this is where this is not my area of expertise at all. Oh. Michelle is saying G Suite.
G Suite?
Look in the chat. It's G-Suite.
Okay.
I don't understand even the question that you're asking. The tech people.
It's just, there's a basic Google email, like off of your website, you know, info@...
I think 1&1 or GoDaddy. I think those are the ones that I use.
Okay. Yeah, if people just put some stuff in the chat, that would be good.
Yeah, uses G Suite also.
G Suite, okay. And then, I had a home yoga studio in New Zealand, and that was Diamond in the Bay. And so that was because I lived in the Bay, and it was Diamond in the Bay, and it was really great. But now I'm in Sweden, so it's just not working. So I want to sell that if I can, or just slowly, you know, step away from it. And I'm wondering, do I step into my name, Shamet Horsfield, and so my website, ShametHorsfield.com, or because I'm doing the Awakening the Priestess Within, I've bought that domain too, so I've got Awaken the Priestess Within, but I've also bought Awaken the Goddess Within, because I'm confused, I don't know, do I go with Shamet Horsfield, do I go with Awaken the Goddess Within, or Awaken the Priestess Within? Because I want to do the online priestess school, but I do my goddess circles. And part of the questioning is, I don't know how many women are really, truly ready to step fully into their priestess. So maybe the reason why I got the Goddess Within is because maybe that's the way in, the Goddess Within, and then it Awaken the Priestess is just on the website. So that's what I've got right now, is awakenthegoddesswithin.org, because that's the only one I could get. And then Awaken the Priestess is on there. So, you know, I don't know, because on Google right now, when people go to find me, they know me as Diamond in the Bay, because that's what I've been for 4 or 5 years.
Right. So first of all,
because
you've moved, and I'm assuming that a lot of people in the Diamond in the Bay community know your name. What I would say is, regardless, I would have your name, Shamet Horsfield, and then have it forward to whatever the URL is, right? So with my rebranding, we're actually changing the name of the business. I will share it with all of you soon. I'm really excited. Oh. But when people type in Joanna Lindenbaum, like we have it right now, it's joannalindenbaum.com. It'll just redirect to the new website, right? So for sure, do that, because there are a lot of people that from New Zealand that know your name. And then I see, before we get to the website part of it, I see like Awaken the Goddess Within and Awaken the Priestess Within is like different level programs, right? So it's almost like some people, right? So just as a way to start, you won't have so many programs right away, but just to start structure your thinking on the evolution in your work. And we always want to go with the highest, with names, the highest level of the work. Because even the lower, I hate to use lower level, but even like the lower
level, the entry level,
they aspire to that. So like all it all goes up, right? So, and it feels to me, my sense, and you can tell me if I'm getting this wrong, I feel like you're more resonant with priestess. I mean, obviously goddess is wonderful, but I think that's your heart. I would go with that. And that's the aspiration, you know? It's kind of like a business coach isn't going to name their business, your first three clients, right? Like your full practice. And then wherever you are on that, it's like aspirational to that.
Yeah. So am I hearing you say definitely have the domain name be Chimette Horsfield or Awaken the Priestess.
Exactly. Awaken the Priestess is where everybody is eventually going to land, but by Chimette Horsfield and have that redirect.
So the name gets redirected.
Yeah, for the people that will Google you in or think that that's your website name.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's a good idea. So it is awakenthepriestesswithin.com because that's what I was able to get the .com. Mm-hmm. So excited. And then redirect. Do I hang on to the Awaken the Goddess Within? And can I do all of them?
Anna's shaking her head yes. Since she's so emphatic, I say yes, go with that. I would have it redirect though. Just redirect.
Okay. All right. And you can redirect a few of them.
Totally. Yeah. So I still have like Soulful Coach redirects, and now I'll have Joanna Lindenbaum redirects because different people know me in different ways.
Does that still come up? Like, will it come up on Google under my name? It'll be Awaken the Priestess, won't it?
Yes. If somebody Googles your name, Awaken the Priestess Within will come up.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay, that works then. Okay. I had one more business question. Just because I'm in the middle of setting all this up. The groups, and I know you've told me this, Joanna, I've got my chakra yoga group, I've got my goddess group, I've got my manifestation group, because I do all of it, manifesting an abundant life. And you told me that I should, you know, not have so many and just boil it down to one, maybe two. I'm having a really difficult time with that. It's like getting rid of my children or something. It's just ridiculous. It's driving me crazy though, because it's too much. Like I'm all over the place, but so I need to do that, but I don't know how.
Sorry.
Very emotional.
Taglines or the, I didn't hear what it was about. The taglines.
The groups, all the different groups. All
the different Facebook groups.
Yeah. I'm having a really hard time putting everyone into one group.
Okay. So we're like really way over time. So I'll quickly do this and then the fear? What's the fear or the sadness?
They're all different aspects of who I am. And yeah, I don't know. I have to go into thinking about that because I definitely do need to put them into one. I guess I'm afraid of losing people.
Yeah, you will lose some people. And that's okay.
Okay.
You know? Yeah, but there is a way to integrate the pieces that are most important into one. And this is important for everyone. Like, the moment we get afraid of losing people is the moment we get stymied in where we're supposed to go next, or you know, whatever it is. And because we're always in one way or another going to lose people, right? And that's okay. There are some people that aren't meant to go where you're going, and they're actually meant to fall away. The people that you still have sacred contracts with that are still meant to learn from you, they'll go there with you.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Good. For you guys that are still hanging on, yay. You're marathoners. It's great to spend this time. Just sending so much love to all of you. We'll hopefully all be together in the Facebook group over the next few days. I want to hear from you. I want to hear what came through for you in this call. If you have any questions that you want me to answer or anybody else before our next call, post it in the Facebook group. If you want to share what came through my questions in the beginning and what your goals are, I'll add that as a thread. I want to hear. That way I can track you guys. So I will actually post that because I want to really hear what's up for you guys. And also do a little of, if you're not stretching yourselves enough, I'm going to call you out on that as well. So thank you for a wonderful first call. I know I'm going to see a lot of you the next 2 days, all day for advance. A lot of Joanna. Get ready. And sending you so much love. Bye.